Nearly 3,000 years ago, a blind poet sang a story so powerful it would echo through every battlefield, throne room, and tragedy that followed. The Iliad isn't about the Trojan War. It's about 10 catastrophic days in the war's final year, sparked by wounded pride and ending in reluctant mercy. This is the template for every revenge tale, every exploration of honor and mortality, every meditation on what makes us human. From Shakespeare's tortured princes to modern anti-heroes wrestling with their demons, Homer's fingerprints are everywhere. What makes an ancient poem about bronze-clad warriors relevant today? Because beneath the divine interventions and epic battles lies something uncomfortably familiar, our own capacity for self-destruction when pride overrides reason, and our desperate search for meaning when death is the only certainty. The Iliad opens with plague devastating the Greek camp. Apollo strikes because Agamemnon refused to ransom a priest's daughter. When forced to return her, Agamemnon seizes Brasidas, the war prize of Achilles, Greece's greatest warrior. This isn't about losing a woman, it's about public humiliation, the deliberate stripping of honor before the entire army. Achilles, semi-divine son of the sea goddess Thetis, withdraws from battle and asks Zeus to favor the Trojans until the Greeks recognize his worth. The Greeks send an embassy offering staggering compensation, gold, horses, cities, even Agamemnon's daughter in marriage. Achilles refuses everything. His rage has transcended rational calculation. He would rather watch his comrades die than surrender his grievance. This psychological truth resonates across millennia. Wounded pride can override both self-interest and compassion. Homer's gods aren't distant cosmic forces. They're dysfunctional family members with superhuman power and human emotions. Zeus attempts neutrality while Hera schemes for Greek victory and Apollo champions Troy. They physically intervene. Athena grabs Achilles by the hair to stop him from killing Agamemnon. Aphrodite whisks Paris from certain death. Apollo wraps Hector in protective mist. When Athena restrains Achilles, we witness the internal struggle between rage and reason personified. The gods' immortality creates fascinating contrast with human mortality. They experience passions, but never growth, remaining static while mortals evolve through suffering. As Lycian warrior Sarpedon tells his companion, if they could live forever, he'd never fight on the front lines. But now, since the spirits of death stand close about us, let us go forward. The gods' immunity from death makes human courage more remarkable, highlighting what's truly at stake when mortals risk everything knowing death is inescapable. Troy emerges as Western literature's first fully realized city. Homer portrays it with remarkable sympathy, despite writing for a Greek audience. Inside its walls, civilization flourishes. Magnificent architecture, courteous manners, restraint of anger, kindness to the weak. The Trojans offer ransoms when facing death, believing wealth can buy solutions, a civilized assumption that proves tragically wrong. Enter Hector, Troy's greatest defender and perhaps the epic's true hero. Unlike divinely blessed Achilles, Hector is simply a man doing his duty. The poem's most heartbreaking scene shows him returning from battle to find his wife Andromache an infant son. She begs him to stay, reminding him that Achilles already killed her father and 7 brothers. When Hector reaches for his son, the boy recoils at his plumed helmet. The warrior removes it to comfort his frightened child, a gesture of humanity transcending all boundaries. Hector knows Troy will fall and he'll likely die, yet he fights anyway, explaining he would die of shame to shrink from battle. His courage stems not from invulnerability, but from commitment to those depending on him. When he finally faces Achilles alone outside Troy's gates, his isolation emphasizes his heroism, confronting death as a man who understands duty's terrible cost. When Achilles' armor is lost with Patroclus, Hephaestus forges him a new shield depicting an entire cosmos. Two cities, one at peace with marriages and legal proceedings, one at war. Farmers plowing fields, workers harvesting grain, young people dancing and linking their arms, gripping each other's wrists. The outermost rim shows Ocean River, the boundary between the known world and the realm of the dead. This artistic interlude provides respite from relentless violence while reminding us war isn't the whole of human life. The detailed descriptions, reapers cutting wheat, flies buzzing around milk buckets, create poignant balance between war's destructive values and the creative, life-sustaining values it destroys. The profound irony? As Achilles prepares to return consumed by vengeance, his shield depicts the very fullness of human experience he's rejected. While bearing this symbol of life's rich totality, he's chosen death and destruction. The shield represents what Achilles lacks, a balanced perspective on existence. It's a message he carries, but cannot read, underscoring the tragedy of a man whose extraordinary greatness is inseparable from his fatal flaws. After killing Hector, Achilles drags the body behind his chariot for days, finding no satisfaction. Then Priam, king of Troy, comes under divine protection to ransom his son's corpse. The old man kneels before his son's killer and says, "I put to my lips the hands of the man who killed my son." Something breaks in Achilles. He weeps, not for Priam, but for his own father Peleus, who will soon lose a son. For the first time, he sees the war from another's perspective. He comforts Priam with what small comfort mortals can take, explaining how Zeus dispenses mostly evil to humans. Yet his emotions remain precarious. When Priam grows impatient, Achilles warns, "Don't tempt my wrath, or under my own roof, I may not spare your life." This self-knowledge marks where he ceases being godlike and becomes fully human. Achilles offers Priam food, telling him even Niobe remembered to eat after her children's deaths, an admission of shared mortality. This transformation doesn't erase the tragedy. Achilles is redeemed just before his own death, and there's no consolation for Hector's death or Troy's destruction. Yet in this final moment of compassion between enemies, Homer offers a glimpse of what might be possible if humans could recognize their shared mortality before tragedy strikes. The Iliad endures because it captures unchanging human experiences: rage, honor, mortality, and compassion. Homer's psychological insights feel remarkably modern: how pride overrides self-interest, how grief transforms into destructive rage, how even the greatest heroes remain vulnerable to their emotions. The poem offers profound reflections on mortality. As one warrior tells another, "Like the generations of leaves, the lives of mortal men. Now the wind scatters the old leaves across the earth. Now the living timber bursts with the new buds and spring comes round again." This acceptance of transience creates the poem's tragic perspective while highlighting the value of each moment. The Iliad neither condemns nor celebrates warfare, but presents it honestly. The human soul in relation to force, swept away by it, blinded by it, bent under its pressure. In an age of remote warfare, Homer's visceral depiction forces us to confront the physical and psychological realities of violence. What makes the Iliad timeless is its profound humanity. We recognize ourselves in these characters, their pride and compassion, their courage and fear, their struggle to find meaning facing mortality. When we speak of someone's Achilles heel, we're drawing on cultural inheritance that has shaped Western consciousness for millennia.